I'm working on Friday this week. They're dragging me in. This damn 5-day schedule.
There he goes.
I don't like it. The hell with this crap. Damn, this is really a Thursday on a Thursday. This stinks. I hate it.
Chris Sims got to work on a Friday. Too bad, Christopher. Join the rest of the world that puts in 5 days a week, or as the case may be, 7 days a week, although I'm not working. Don't tell anybody that or they'll stop paying me. We are here on Friday. We are dealing with the draft aftermath. And are you holding up? Are you okay?
I'm
good.
Can you
make it through the next hour?
I'm good. Yep, yep. It's 53 minutes. I'm counting down. I'm good. I'm doing good.
Right. 52 now. We got a few minutes to spend with our good friend Peter King, who is in Atlanta and was paying very careful attention to what the Atlanta Falcons did, ultimately taking tight end Kyle Pitts with the 4th overall selection. Good morning, Peter. And how surprising was it for you that Pitts ended up being the guy?
I mean, we all sort of figured that, right? And I think the problem that happened with them and what I found out after the draft is that, you know, they never very seriously considered taking a quarterback and would not have seriously considered taking a quarterback unless Trevor Lawrence was there. That was their guy. And Kyle Pitts was graded so high on their board and was such a universally well-liked guy that all of them, everybody from Arthur Blank on down, and I spent time with him, they were unanimous about this pick. And the interesting thing is, what I had heard coming out of here, and Arthur Blank said it to me, is that, you know, I had written, you know, that I heard that he really was interested in taking quarterback at one point in this process. And he goes, that really wasn't the case. Obviously, you want a quarterback to, you know, to be in your stable for the long term. But when they determined that they think Matt Ryan could easily outplay this current contract where he's got 3 years left. And so they were not aggressively going to pursue a quarterback. The only thing that they really wished had happened, they really wished that somebody had come up with an aggressive trade proposal, and it just never happened.
Oh, all right. So that's where I want to go, you know, next. Yeah. So there was never any aggressive plays there or anything about the number 4 pick for another team's interest in quarterback. Nothing like that, Peter?
No. You know, after the draft, I had a chance to sit with the new general manager, new head coach, and they both said essentially that, you know, we're sort of waiting. We got a bunch of calls, but they were all not very serious, especially because, you know, as I had written last week, the market really got tamped down in the top 10 because of how much San Francisco paid to go up from 12 to 3. Nobody was paying 2 ones. Like, the Denver Broncos weren't going to pay real heavily to move up from, say, 9 to 4. And as it turned out, it seems like they really didn't want to do that anyway, because they were all in on one of those 2 corners, and they ended up getting one of them.
Peter, real quick, because we know you got to run. Julio Jones, you dusted off the notion that he could be available earlier this week. Now that they have Kyle Pitts, does it make it more likely, less likely, that he's going to be traded as of June 2?
I don't think it really – I don't think it matters, you know, the fact that they drafted Kyle Pitts. I think – Mike, here's what I think is going to happen based on some conversations in the last 24 hours. The Atlanta Falcons do not feel any pressure to trade Julio Jones before the end of this draft. There's no deadline to do that. If you're not getting a pick until next year, and if there are no games until after Labor Day, you know, you can make a trade on July 20th. Not necessarily that you will, but you could. And just my belief is that the Atlanta Falcons are not going to just unload them for salary cap reasons. That I think they're going to be solid on what they want. My guess is that they want a firm number 2 pick in the 2022 draft. I don't know that for sure, but that's my educated guess.
And if that doesn't happen, scary thought, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts this year with Matt Ryan. Peter, thank you so much for some of your time. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good day.
See you, Peter. There he is, Peter King. Football Morning in America. We'll have a full breakdown of everything that happened draft weekend, so you'll check that out Monday morning, as you always do. Now, Christopher, what we usually do on Monday mornings during football season? Superlatives.
Superlatives.
First round of the draft edition. You have the honors, Your Honor.
Well, I think, thank you very much. You're so respectful. I think the first one that I'll go with is just speed kills, right? And I say that because of the wide receivers we saw that were in such a premium in the top 10. I mean, that's something I, you know, we haven't hit on yet. I mean, that was a special group of three guys, and I think the NFL told you that they valued them as a special group of three guys, whether it's Devontae Smith, you know, Jalen Waddle, and, of course, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, to all go in the top 10, you know, is pretty eye-opening. It really is. And it just tells you where the league is right now with, you know, the space, how well the quarterbacks throw the football. We've talked about in the past how it's kind of like a strikeout or home run type league right now. It's the NFL offenses are looking for guys who can make big plays. And that's where you got really all three of these receivers in the top 10. And you add in Kadarius Toney for the Giants in the top 20. They're difference makers. And I just found that to be one of the cool things of the draft altogether.
I'm going to pick up where we left off with Peter King for my first award, and it is the Smell You Later Julio Jones Award. I think he's gone. I think it's done, and it's just a question of when. And how much of the $15.3 million in fully guaranteed money the Falcons are going to have to commit to pay to facilitate a trade, because I think they are ready to move on from Julio Jones. I don't think any of this came out on Monday with multiple reporters all saying the same thing, lighting the fuse on a Julio Jones trade, putting everyone on notice that he's available. It can't happen until June 2nd for salary cap reasons, but I think the Kyle Pitts pick, in my estimation, makes it even more likely that they will move on from Julio Jones. And to get that second-round pick, they may have to pay more of the $15.3 million. The less they pay of the $15.3 million, the lower that pick is going to be. And they did get a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu not long ago.
Which is crazy. There's
a chance they're not going to get a second-round pick for Julio Jones if they're not paying a significant amount of that $15.3 million.
Yeah, that's right. I think they're going to have to do that if they want to get the value in return as far as picks or assets are concerned. I'm with you all the way, Mike. And this certainly makes them a little bit more expendable. It does. And, you know, again, we discussed Julio Jones during the trade deadline last year. You know, that we thought maybe that could be a guy that they would look to. The year was over. He's getting up there in age. We've talked about how beat up he is and all of that. So, yeah, that'll be something to watch for here as we go through OTAs and stuff. All right. Modern Medical Miracle Superlative Award goes to Modern Medical Miracle. Yes. You know, this is something we talked about yesterday. Jalen Phillips and Caleb Farley. Yeah, baby. I love it that they got picked at least in the top 25. To me, it's arguably Jalen Phillips, the best defensive player in the draft. Caleb Farley is second or third, I mean, in my money. And I'm just happy for one to see them go. But, like, first off, let's just hit on Miami. I mean, Miami, hey, they're you know, to steal your phrase, Mike, like, they're a team that's playing chess while a lot of teams are playing checkers. The way they've mastered free agency, the draft, what they did yesterday, you know, Jalen Waddle, I think that's the perfect pick for, you know, a receiver to go along with Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, who are bigger outside type guys. And now you get the best defensive player in the draft, pass rusher coming off the edge, and they got stud galore already on their defensive line and their defense. So they're really building something special. And then the Titans with Caleb Farley, I mean, wow. You know, that's Mike Vrabel. We know he wants to play man-to-man, Belichick-style type of defense, and Caleb Farley is hands down the best man-to-man corner in this draft. So that was awesome to see.
And as long as Farley has at least five snaps in his NFL career, he will be ahead of what they got out of their first-round pick last year in Tennessee. So
that's right.
I think they'll get more than four snaps out of Caleb Farley. You know, the thing about the Dolphins with the Jalen Phillips pick, I think they sprinted to the podium with that one, that he was still there when they used their second pick at 18 and didn't have to trade up to get him, when you consider the other teams out there that, you know, that could have taken it.
Do you think the Saints were trying to talk about trading up for, like, him? You know, that's the, like, you know, you heard all these rumors about the Saints maybe trading up, and they took the pass rusher. You know, was it him that they had their eye on? That, I mean, that's to me the guy that would make sense, but I'm curious.
Jay Glazer said yesterday when they were trying to get to the top 10, it was for a corner.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they stopped after the top 10.
Right.
They did end up with a pass rusher that plenty of teams had as a fourth rounder, which is surprising to me, but the Saints clearly
it was an overdraft for sure.
They were kind of in no man's land. They were in a spot where they were stuck and no opportunity to trade down, no opportunity to trade up. Think about what they gave up to get Marcus Davenport a few years ago. I think that, you know, it's hard to get the right price. You got to get it just right.
Yeah.
And you look at the Bears gave up a first-round pick next year to move from 20 to 11, but the Jets gave up 2 threes and got back a 4 to go from 23 to 14. So you never know what it's going to take to get one of these deals done. The next one for me is the Tom Petty Award, which goes to Mac Jones because he's already been compared to Tom Brady, and also there was some free-falling that happened for Mac Jones last night, and he always wanted to be a Patriot anyway, and he's going to be even more motivated now because he was the last of the 5 quarterbacks taken, so he'll be pissed off about that 21 years from now when he's still playing in the NFL, and he tweets out the day of the draft, this is the anniversary of the day that I went 15th, and the 4 guys who went in front of me are all out of the league now. So it's all set up perfectly for Mac Jones as he fell from 3 to 15, Chris.
Yeah, that I mean, it did. It fell perfectly. You're right.
There was some sarcasm in there.
Well, I mean, I know, but like it did fall perfectly for him and I think the Patriots, and you talk about like the fit altogether and everything like that. It's who everybody thought this marriage was going to happen from the get-go anyways. And I do believe him in the fact that he probably felt most comfortable with the Patriots and want to be, you know, he came from Nick Saban. The Patriots, it's all the same thing. It's the same attitude. You know, Nick Saban talks like this. Bill Belichick talks like this. They don't change their tone. They do like this. He's going to be coached by the same type of guy. So, I mean, it seemed like a marriage made in heaven that way. I like it. And of course, I think he can do dangerous things in that offense.
Patriots also rushed to the podium to get that pick in.
Wait, didn't they really? Didn't you notice that too? Right? Like it was like the quickest pick of the night when they saw him there. But that was Matt Casey, producer here. I think he texted the group text like, did they take 30 seconds to make that pick? So they were obviously excited that he was there.
They will never admit it. But I think anybody who understands how competitive the sport is and the emotion that goes into it, and the fact that Tom Brady left and won a Super Bowl in his first year out of New England. They are determined to compete with Tom Brady. They are playing Tom Brady this year. They want to be able, when it's all said and done, when Tom Brady's done, they want to catch him. Just like they had been desperate to catch the Steelers with 6 and very much would like to pass them with 7, they are now going to be desperate to catch Tom Brady with 1, and who knows how many more, post-Patriots championships. And Mac Jones gives them the guy that did draw the comparisons to Tom Brady, and he tried to downplay the comparisons before the draft, but then in that same breath said, yeah, I can see why people make comparisons. So, yeah, they're thrilled to get him, and it's just a question of when he supplants Cam Newton as the starter now, whether it's next year, whether it's during this year, whether it's Mac Jones versus Tom Brady or Cam Newton versus Tom Brady. Remember, Patriots fans, Cam Newton all time, 2-0 against Tom Brady. So, don't throw Cam Newton overboard just yet.
No, you're right. And I don't think they're scared to play with Cam Newton or any of that.
Bingo! So,
bingo. He brought it up.
Haven't heard that one for
a while. Patriots versus Bucks, Brady versus whoever. I want to know how I want to even phrase this here. I had a phrase in my mind here where
tread
I would just go.
Tread lightly.
I know, yes. The Freak Show Award, okay? The Freak Show Award. That's where I want to go here. And I mean that because I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys, who have become the team that just like, who's the biggest freak available on the board? Who's the biggest, fastest, strongest guy? We'll take him. And I love the Cowboys pick last night at pick number, that was 12, right? Just want to make sure I got that right.
Traded down, got a 3rd-round pick.
Right.
And traded down to 12 with the Eagles.
Yeah, traded with the Eagles. And, you know, Micah Parsons. You know, other than the Caleb Farley and Jalen Phillips that we talk about who had the medical questions, the guy that had no medical questions that was the best defensive player in the draft for me was Micah Parsons. I mean, I don't know. There's just not a lot of guys on the planet Earth that are 6'3", 244, and run 4'4", and can knock your head off and can cover tight ends and running backs and do all of that. I mean, I really feel like the Dallas Cowboys, with Dan Quinn as their new D coordinator, got their Bobby Wagner. That's what they got. I mean, this guy was to me one of the can't miss prospects of the whole draft. Just put him in the middle of the field, 6 yards off the ball, and he can go be Bobby Wagner, Deion Jones, Miles Jack, Fred Warner, you name it. That's what this guy will do. He is the perfect middle linebacker, and I really like the pick for the Dallas Cowboys.
And the willingness to do the trade with the Eagles and hand them Devontae Smith, yeah, knowing that they were going to have to deal with Devontae Smith anyway, because if they didn't let the Eagles get him, the Giants would have gotten
Sounds
him.
Like it,
I
huh?
would say that the Cowboys would probably prefer that he not be on the Giants, because I think even though the Eagles are a big rival, I think the Cowboys are more concerned about the Giants right now, as they should be.
Yeah.
And you give Devontae Smith to the Giants with everything else they have. Holy crap. So
holy crap,
Cowboys
right.
pick up an extra third rounder and get the guy they would have taken at 10 anyway. It worked out very well for them. Let's take a break. We got plenty more PFT Live to come. We got a draft coming up before that, though. It's the Friday speed round. We'll do that next here on PFT Live. Today's speed round is brought to you by Verizon. All right, Chris, let's get right to it. Let's start with the NFC East, a variety of trades made. Which NFC East trade did you like the best?
I think the one, you know, I like the Cowboys one a lot. I like Devontae Smith, but the Giants one is the one I think that jumps out to me more than any. I mean, one, I think they got a really damn good football player in Kadarius Toney. I mean, he's a weapon. You know, like a Jalen Waddle, he's Tyreek Hill-ish in a lot of ways. So, man, with the firepower they already have. But then, really, to get a first-round pick in next year's draft, it was a phenomenal play there by Gettleman and the Giants. And like we talked about earlier, it's the Eagles are rebuilding. I don't expect them to have an awesome, you know, football team this year. So I don't know what the Giants fans are going for. Who'd they want? This guy's got 3 rockets up his butt and can break tackles and break ankles and do it all. He's going to be really good for their football team.
And think about it. Instead of overreacting when they get leapfrogged for Devontae Smith and taking Toney there, they make the strategic decision, and Dave Gettleman, the GM of the team, finally proving he is capable of trading down. They go down 9 spots. They pick up that first rounder next year, and they get Kadarius Toney, presumably the guy they would have taken at 11 if they had put a name on the card then, because it was widely believed they were going receiver, and that's why the Eagles cut the line in front of them to get Devontae Smith. So it worked out well for the New York Giants. I agree with you. That was the best NFC East trade of the night, because they still got their guy and they got a first rounder next year, when it'll be easier to scout these guys because there will be private workouts and visits to teams and a scouting combine most likely next year. All right, which Alabama first rounder can make the biggest immediate impact? And there were 6 of them last night.
It's unreal. It's unreal. Go ahead. You go first. I don't know. You know, who's the one that jumps out to you?
I think it's Najee Harris. He's going to have the ball the most. He's the last of the guys taken. And he at the Steelers at number 24,
yeah,
he's going to have the football in his hands. And as I've said many times, you don't use a first round pick on a running back in today's game unless you are ready to ride him hard. And
yeah,
I think they're going to do it in Ben Roethlisberger's likely final season. Hey, who knows? Maybe Najee Harris can do so much this year that Roethlisberger can squeeze one more year out of his body, Chris.
You're right. Who knows? If they can run the ball, protect, play Brady ball like they did in Tampa, I don't doubt that. Because, I mean, Big Ben's arm is still good. Now, that's not going to be like a concern. You're not going to be like, oh, man, he can't make the throws anymore. He's still going to be capable of doing all of that. So, yeah, it's – I mean, these damn Alabama guys, this damn Alabama football team, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's every year. It's just stud after stud after stud after stud. They all got pressure on them. There's no doubt about it. You know, I'm between two guys because Patrick Surtain, of course, in the AFC West, reinforcements needed. We have to play Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert 4 times a year. We need some people that can cover. But I think I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle. I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle as to be the guy that's the biggest immediate impact. you know, just because he's such a need for their football team. He's going to fit the role within that New England system and the passing game a little bit to do the Julian Edelman stuff and all of that. But yet they're going to have a more an explosive element role for him too. And, of course, Tua needs it. Their offense needs it. Everything there. So I think I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle there. I really like that pick.
Do you think that they went to Tua and said, which of the two Alabama receivers should we take? Should we take Jalen? Should we take Devontae?
I would think so. I would think there was at least a conversation about, hey, tell us about both of these guys and, you know, what's your scouting report at the very least. Hey, you could talk to teams that would just go, whoa, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is unbelievable, right? I mean, Devontae Smith, I know a handful of teams that had him as the number one receiver on the board. And then, of course, Jalen Waddle was this guy that I never heard was like everybody's number one guy on the board, but everybody was like, man, he can make some big plays and he's explosive and everything like that. So that's where it surprised me a little bit. But damn, he's a good football player and he's going to make their offense a whole lot more explosive.
Hey, I had heard that if it was down to Jalen Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase for the Dolphins, they were going Waddle.
So Waddle was their guy.
To make that choice. They didn't get a chance to make that choice because Chase was off the board. By the way, Devontae Smith told us earlier this week he wants to wear number 6. Khalil Tate has number 6 for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it looks like there's going to have to be some sort of a transaction that happens to get Devontae Smith in number 6 with the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, which quarterback should be happiest with his new protector? Which tackle
You're skipping one.
Is going to be the best? Which one did I skip?
Well, you got to read.
Well, you know what?
And look above.
But you know what we're capable of doing?
Yeah.
We're capable of pretending that didn't happen, and then I can circle back afterwards.
Right.
It's more seamless that way.
Oh, right.
All right.
Right.
So we're sticking with the one that I did.
Okay.
Which quarterback should be happiest with his new protector?
Right, yeah. We're capable of going in order, too, just to let you know. We're capable both ways there, buddy.
I didn't know you read the sheets.
Yeah.
You just told me an hour ago you don't read them.
I didn't. Not last night at 12:55.
And I didn't know you could read, Texas boy.
Yeah, I barely can. That's about all they taught me there is how to read. That's it. QB should be the happiest. I think you got to go with Kirk Cousins here. I mean, of course, hey, we could throw in Jared Goff into that conversation to have Penny Sewell is really amazing too. But I just think from the Minnesota angle, it was such a necessity for their football team, like we kind of talked about. I mean, you know, Cousins, to your point, is not the most mobile guy in the world, but the whole team and the way they play is set up through their run game and their bootleg. And if they can't really be successful in that type of stuff, then it's going to be an uphill battle. Darisaw, arguably the best pass-protecting left tackle in the draft, too. So I really like that pick from the Vikings there.
It was either Elijah Vera Tucker or Christian Darisaw for the Vikings at 14. Mm. So they were able to kind of do what the Giants did. They go down 9 spots. They pick up 2 third-round picks. Now they gave up a 4th-round pick also. This is a team that needs edge rushers, and I won't be surprised if they don't use both of those picks in round 3 on edge rushers, or at least between the 2nd round and the 3rd round, 2 picks on edge rushers. They need to develop some guys to help that side of the ball. But look, Kirk Cousins needs to be able to run the play that's called. When the walls close in, it's over. So they needed that infrastructure on the offensive line, and it made sense for them. If they had a very close match between Vera Tucker and Darisaw to get a couple of third-round picks and still get one of the two guys, that worked out
that's
pretty
right
well.
Way.
So I think Kirk Cousins should be happy, and he also should be happy that Justin Fields didn't fall to 14 because there was a chance the Vikings were going to take him.
Ooh, man.
Which would have made for a much different narrative today than what we otherwise would be addressing. All right, now I will go back to the one that I inadvertently skipped over. Thank you very much for pointing that out to the world. Christopher, which first-round cornerback situation are you the most excited about? There were 5 corners taken in all last night.
Well, you know the one I'm most excited about. We hit on it already, my modern medical miracle. I mean, Caleb Farley to the Tennessee Titans is the one I'm most excited about. Because, I mean, to me, it could be like a Randy Moss type story where he fell to here and now he's one of the best, you know, in the league at his position, that type of stuff. Farley has that type of talent, and the way they play, You know, they want island corners. They want Stephon Gilmore's and the Ty Laws of the world that can get and just go, hey, I got you. That's it. The rest of the defense has got their own game plan, but I got you. And that's where Caleb Farley will thrive.
And I like that you made the Randy Moss point, because it was the Tennessee Titans who took the last receiver before Randy Moss in 1998. Trivia, do you remember who it was?
Ooh, 1998. Hold on. Is it? Was Derek Mason that high of a pick? No.
No.
Nope. Think Music City Miracle.
Oh. Ooh. Well, okay. I'm thinking of the Titans. Oh, that's Oh, I know. Damn, I know.
He's now a high school principal.
I know. What's his name? I'm not going to be able to.
Kevin Dyson.
Dyson. Nope. Number 87. Damn. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Good one. Good one there. Trip down memory lane.
And Caleb Farley won. Pick after the Randy Moss spot of 21. I agree with you there. I am excited about that. I also, though, want to see if J.C. Horn is as good as the Panthers believe.
Right.
Because remember, when they traded for Sam Darnold, they said, hey, we now can take the best available player. And as Mac Jones fell to 8, remember there was that noise? Maybe they would trade up to try to get Mac Jones.
Right.
Mac Jones is there. They didn't flinch. They didn't blink. They didn't take him or Justin Fields at number 8. They went with the best player on the board, and for them it was J.C. Horn, and we'll see if he's as good as advertised. He's definitely got the confidence.
Yes.
And you better have a lot of confidence if you're going to thrive as a corner in today's NFL.
They're all about, like, size and length there with Carolina. We've heard Matt Rhule say that, and J.C. Horn fits that mold. He does. Yeah, he wasn't my favorite corner in the draft, but when you talk about physicality, you know, the ability to kind of jam receivers and beat them up at the line of scrimmage and not do all that stuff, that's where he's really good. And, of course, he's a good tackler to go on top of that. So they got a really good football player. Yeah, for my money, I think it's an overdrafting a little at number 8. But, yeah, I'm with you. That's going to be one to watch for sure. I'm sure they were trying to trade down to a degree. I mean, that was the rumor around the Carolina Panthers. But I guess they didn't find the suitor, and they got J.C. Horn.
Part of the problem was they weren't going to get J.C. Horn if they traded down, because that's who the Eagles were targeting when they were initially trying to trade up. Once Horn was off the board, it pivoted, I believe, to Devontae Smith away from J.C. Horn. All right, let's take a break. Big Kahuna draft as it relates to the first night of the 2021 draft when PFT Live continues right after this.
Pro Football Talk is brought to you by Verizon, built right for business.
Yeah, we did a lot of homework on this pick. Knew it would be controversial. Completely understand that. Coach Gable has been all over him for months now, since the first time he saw the tape. Coach Gruden loved this guy. Our scouts love this guy. And what I like is when the second floor in our building, which is all the coaches, and the third floor, which is all the scouts, when we're united on a conversation like Leatherwood, that makes me feel really good about the pick.
Mike Mayock, the GM of the Las Vegas Raiders, explaining the decision to take Alabama tackle Alex Leatherwood, one of 6 Crimson Tide players who were selected last night. It's the big Kahuna Cajones draft, the gutsiest moves from round 1 of the 2021 draft. Christopher, do we have a trivia question?
I do. I got it for you right here.
You have it for me. I won't scroll down and see it then.
I don't know if it's so we'll see. Here we go. Trey Lance, as we talked about earlier, 318 pass attempts is the fewest for a first-round QB in the history of the NFL. Who was second as far as a first-round QB? It's a tough one, okay? It's a tough one. Yep.
Hang on. Hang on. No, don't give me a hint.
Okay,
don't give
fine.
Me a hint. Tim Tebow.
Oh, that's a good guess, though. That's a good guess. It's Michael Vick. Michael Vick, and then that's followed by Mark Sanchez. But I like where you were thinking there. You're right. I mean, think about a quarterback that's running and doing that type of stuff, all that. But the big thing
played
is
4 years. That's
four
what screwed
years.
It up.
Exactly right. Yeah. That's right.
I just wanted to mention Tim Tebow because I knew Matt Casey would want me to mention Tim Tebow today.
Well, oddly enough,
I'm glad that what comes through this can't be picked up by the microphone.
Oddly enough, my first pick of the draft for the big Kahuna's draft, this guy's idol growing up was Tim Tebow, and that is Trey Lance. I don't care. Pick number 3 is the big Kahuna pick of the draft for me. Yes, You know it. With all the scrutiny around who should you pick, what should you do, I don't know. And you picked a guy that hasn't played a lot of football, played one AA football, added on top of that, you know, hasn't had a ton of reps throwing the football and all that. So that to me was the big kahuna pick of the draft right there, because that's something that, of course, yeah, Shanahan, Lynch, their names are going to be tied to this forever. There's no doubt about that. So I'm interested to see, you know, where this goes and how Trey Lance develops going forward.
Yeah, look, what made it even more kahuna-ish, the idea that they
all the stuff
kind of revel right. in the uncertainty and hey, the Rodgers everybody, stuff. We got this third right. overall pick, and we called the Packers about Aaron Rodgers and leading people to believe it was Mac Jones. That was all gratuitous. That was all unnecessary. They were not going to get leapfrogged for Trey Lance. It was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and then the 49ers controlled the board. That's why they moved up there.
That's where I don't still believe it was. I don't believe it was originally for Trey Lance. That's where I don't believe it. I still think it was Mac Jones because they were worried about New England and Carolina. And I think that Shanahan's mind was changed somewhere in the process. I am still a believer that trade was made to go to get Mac Jones originally.
And Chris, we've now seen twice in 4 years, someone in that organization has the ability to get Kyle Shanahan to change his mind, because he was all in on Kirk Cousins 2018. And I know, man, maybe they weren't going to get him, but if they're determined to get him, they're going to get him. He didn't get much more in free agency than they paid Jimmy Garoppolo to keep him around.
Right.
But they got him to pivot to Garoppolo. Somebody said the right thing at the right time to get him to pivot to Garoppolo, even though he'd never worked with Garoppolo. Even though Garoppolo had a hard time staying healthy through four opportunities in 2016, he got injured in game two. And now, if it's true that he wanted Mac Jones initially, somebody got him to pivot toward Trey Lance. So there's somebody in that organization that knows how to push the buttons just right of Kyle Shanahan to make him come to the conclusion that someone else wants him to come to.
Yeah, maybe, Mike. I mean, you're right. The Garoppolo thing with the Cousins thing, listen, I don't know the whole story there. I can at least say at a base level and back at the time a little bit, you know, I think they were 0-10. They were panicked a little bit, like, oh, man, in our first year, are we going to go 0-16? And I think they felt like they didn't have a quarterback on the roster that could actually win them a football game. So I think maybe that's where they rushed a judgment on the Jimmy Garoppolo thing and got that going. That's what I believe happened really there. And I can understand that for where they were at that point, but you're right, Mike. I don't know. Somebody's got Shanahan's ear for sure in that organization.
Well, for me, the ultimate kahuna move last night, 4 years after getting burned by trading up and taking a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, Ryan Pace does it again, trading up even more, giving up next year's first round pick to get Justin Fields as he had slid out of the top 10. That is gutsy, that is all in, and that is an organizational kahuna move because, as we said earlier, the message to the Bears fans now is, we've got this, okay? Quit asking us to fire Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. It's not happening. We're going to see what Justin Fields can be. We're going to take our shot here that we have a franchise quarterback that can lead us to where we want to go. If it doesn't work out, then yeah. The next time they draft a quarterback, it won't be Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy working for the team. Or maybe team president Ted Phillips. He may be tied to this one too.
Yeah, maybe. You're right. It's a gutsy pick. It really is. And, you know, it's, for a team, they need a difference maker at this position. Something to get the city to rally around their team a little bit and feel faith in the quarterback and all of that. But, yeah, overall, big time move. But Ryan Pace, really, he's the one that – big kahunas there to pull that off last night for sure. I think the next one I'm going to go to is, and we haven't talked about it, I want to spread the wealth in the conversation here, is the Raiders and their pick, you know, with Leatherwood at 18. That to me was, you know, I thought Leatherwood would be going in the first round. I had him in Baltimore later in the first round. I wasn't sure. I didn't think he'd go that early. I mean, that was, I think, a pretty big-time gutsy pick by them. We know they needed an offensive lineman for sure. They've let a lot go out the door here with trades and the Trent Brown and Rodney Hudson and all that, Gabe Jackson. Leatherwood fits the mold of what they had. He's maybe the best run blocker in the draft. So that's where you got to be excited. They're going to be able to put him at guard right now and just go run people over and open up holes, and he'll be fine. He has the potential to be a really big-time franchise tackle. He does. His pass protection was a little less than what you would like, but that was a gutsy pick, maybe overdrafting a little bit, but there was a big need there for their football team, and they believe in the guy.
I'll say the Philadelphia Eagles in jumping up to get DeVonta Smith, when you consider big picture what they did, dropping from 6 to 12, picking up a first-rounder next year, assuming the risk that the Dolphins would take DeVonta Smith or someone else before the Eagles could get him would take him, and then having that plan to jump the Giants when it became evident that the Giants were all in on DeVonta Smith. They get a guy who weighs 166 pounds, but you know what? They had DeSean Jackson. They're not concerned about having a short and skinny Slim Reaper wearing number 3 most likely for the Philadelphia Eagles unless he can get number 6 away from Khalil Tate.
It is. It's a big-time move for them as a football team. He's a star, there's no doubt, and the only thing is that skinny aspect that you talked about. But as I said earlier, I know there's some teams that had DeVonta Smith as the number one receiver on the board and were just blown away by what he can do. And I think the Eagles were probably one of those football teams. So good for them, and they got somebody for Jalen Hurts to air it out to for sure now. I mean, I want to go with almost two guys here to cheat a little bit. I don't mean to cheat, but it's just like, I want to go with the two pass rushers at the end. The Saints and the Bills, those were kahuna picks to me. You know, first off, let's just start with the Saints. Peyton Turner, you talked about. Most teams had him like in a mid-round draft pick. I don't know if he was that low for me. I think he's a guy I looked at as to be a mid to late second-round pick. But, yeah, that's a gutsy pick because I don't think anybody had him going in the first round. You know, there are some traits there as far as being a big, twitchy athlete. He's a lot like Marcus Davenport, honestly. The way he's built and the way he plays, it reminds me of him. So that was kind of unexpected, and that'll be under a microscope. And I want to do the same thing with the Bills, if you don't mind, Mike, just with Gregory Rousseau. Because, again, it's a projection pick. There's nothing you can watch on film to go, oh, this guy's just a killer and dominates. There's not that. It's a little bit more like a Danielle Hunter, right? Who I think at LSU, his senior year or last year there, he had one sack and a half. This guy is long. He's not involved in every play, doesn't dominate all that way. Opted out last year. The year before that when he did play, I know he had like 8 or 9 sacks, but they weren't like, oh, he
dumped. 15 and a half.
Either way, I don't care. This is not very few of them were just beating the guy, Mike. Like, it was all like, hey, I'm standing here. The quarterback's got a lot of time to throw. Somebody else missed the sack, and I'll go get him now. Or, hey, the quarterback's been back there for 7 seconds, and now I finally got there to get the sack. You know, I think Booger McFarland kind of made those points last night. There were underwhelming sacks. So it is a projection, and I think a gutsy pick by the Bills, but they need that position.
He is a giant.
He is.
I was amazed to see him next to Michael Signora from the NFL League office, who's about my height, and he towered over him.
Right.
5'10", 5'11"-ish. I don't know if I'm shrinking yet or not. And then, as David Shaw, the Stanford coach, pointed out during the NFL Network coverage, as Rousseau walked out and he's up on the elevated platform and fans are down there reaching for him, he was able to slap their hands without bending over. That's how long his arms
are.
Yeah,
that's why you take him.
This guy to Buffalo, it could be interesting to see what happens.
Be.
All right, for me, since you went with two and since I got the last pick, I'm going with two.
Good.
The bang, bang, back-to-back running backs from Najee Harris to Pittsburgh and then Travis Etienne to the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you're going to use these guys, I'm fine with it. But you got to use them. Otherwise, you're wasting a first-round pick. You could have gotten a running back later. So it's a gutsy move to put any running back name on a card. The Steelers did it for need. The Jaguars did it for luxury because it was just last year, as we said earlier, they got James Robinson undrafted. So all-in moves to try to help their passing game with the two best running backs. And it was a question whether either of them would go in round one, but now both of them go. I wonder if the Steelers hadn't taken Najee Harris, would the Jaguars have taken him or ATN?
I would think ATN was their cup of tea just because of, you know, if he comes from an offense that's similar to what Urban Meyer ran himself. And I just think he fits that mold a little bit more, where I think Pittsburgh's looking to get, hey, Big Ben, get underneath the center. We're going to pull a guard here and let Najee Harris follow him up in the hole. I think he fits that style a little bit more. So, yeah, I think both teams got what they want with that position.
And there was very little secret in league circles about Najee Harris going to the Steelers. If anybody wanted him, they could have jumped him.
No. Any other ones jump out to you? Like the I wanted the Baltimore Ravens, you know, their picks at the end of the first round.
The fact that they didn't trade down.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They used him.
They used him. They got a receiver who can do a little bit of everything, you know, and he was a tough eval because 2 years ago he was awesome. Last year it was kind of just like, eh. And I think you heard last night, I mean, a lot of people think COVID affected him and all those type of things. But I love the second pick. Jason Owe off the edge for that defense. I mean, to me, the Ravens just added Leonard Floyd to their defense. And I think that sounds pretty good if you're a Ravens fan.
I wonder if they would have taken Rousseau if the Bills hadn't taken him one spot earlier.
Remember, right.
Calais Campbell, right. A big proponent of Gregory Rousseau. Let's take a break. A quick look ahead at round two, which starts at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. We'll be back with more right after this. And we're all happy. We made a draft pick. We managed to actually get the pick in on time. High fives all around. Pandemic protocols. What the hell? We're all vaccinated. Let's go. Yes, they were very happy to get Penei Sewell. John Dorsey, buddy boy. You see him there working for the Detroit Lions?
Hey there, buddy boy.
So, hey, they're happy to get Penei Sewell. And Thanos is back. Chris, the guy that you gave that name to a few years back. All right. Round two, what names stand out to you?
Well, I think Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah would be the first one. I think that was a shocker that he didn't go in the first round. You know, an athletic linebacker. I think you look for him. Does Kellen Mond go at some point here in the first 10 to 15 picks in the first round? Azeez Ojulari, right, the edge guy from Georgia. I think he's a name that pops up here pretty soon. Let alone I could see some wide receivers, Elijah Moore from Ole Miss and everybody going here pretty early.
I really like Kellen Mond. Davis Mills is going before Kellen Mond.
You think so? You got that from a good yes. info? Is this the same guy that told you Justin Fields to the 49ers at three? Or the guy that told you?
Nobody told me Justin Fields to the 49ers at three. It was the mock draft. Nobody said that they were going to take him.
Well, you said, I thought you.
It was just someone's opinion.
Okay.
It was his opinion. It wasn't based on news. It was like, I think that Justin Fields is the best fit for the 49ers at three.
Gotcha. And
Aaron Rodgers get traded this
weekend? Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to say no, but I'd like to see it happen.
See you Monday.
See ya.
For the draft.